You're listening to Siren Radio, and this is a homelessness conference special. Representing homelessness on Thursday the 18th of July and Friday the 19th of July. And part of that whole grand event at the University of Lincoln is to feature this little podcast, which of course features Dr. Owen Clayton. How are you, Owen?
I'm excellent, Alex. How are you?
This conference, which is something which I think has been needed for such a long time, because it does really address that key factor which we see throughout our culture in Britain, throughout the world really, homelessness. And it's something which, you know, fortunately many people don't experience, but at the same time many people do.
Yeah, absolutely. So this conference representing homelessness, one of the reasons, you know, I wanted to do it was because, you know, I was living in Lincoln at the time, and, you know, you can see that there are a lot of people, increasing numbers of people, you know, sleeping rough and or living, you know, sometimes they're sleeping rough or maybe couch surfing. You know, homeless people are not always necessarily on the streets and visible in that way. But, you know, the problem of homelessness, I think we can all see it, is getting worse and worse. And, you know, this conference is trying to address that, but do it, you know, in a particular way, thinking about the question of representation.
Yeah, and the conveners, of course, your good self, Nigel Horner, Professor Peter Somerville, and Katie Dorr. When did the idea first start beginning to germinate, to actually come up and actually have a conference on representing homelessness?
Sure. So I was having a conversation with Peter Somerville, who works in the School of Social Science here at the University of Lincoln. I'm an academic in the Department of English. You know, so I normally write on novels and, you know, kind of fictional people rather than real people. But we were having a conversation about homelessness, and, you know, I'm interested in representations in, you know, books and newspapers, and Peter was coming at it from a, you know, kind of social policy perspective, and we were talking about, you know, would it be possible to have a multidisciplinary event conference on this topic that, you know, brought together all these kinds of different fields, different disciplines, people who work in the humanities and the social sciences, but, you know, crucially, people from outside of academia as well. So, and you know, very much including people who've experienced homelessness is a really important part of that. So, yeah, the conference is an attempt to bring all of these different groups together to have a conversation about homelessness, and how homelessness is represented, and the different meanings of that term, representation.
We're going to be talking about how the days are going to be developed in terms of this particular programme. But let's start off with the 18th of July. This podcast is obviously going out a week or so beforehand. And keynote speech, Professor Peter Somerville, representing homelessness, too visible or not visible enough?
So Peter's an expert in homelessness. I mean, he's been writing on the topic for, you know, many years and many decades. So, he will, fantastic to have him to be able to give a keynote on this topic. I know one of the things that he is, concerned with is the fact that we do often stereotype homelessness as rough sleeping. And, you know, it's really important that we don't think that they're necessarily the same thing. A lot of people who work in this area refer to, rough sleeping as roofless. Rather than homelessness, because a house is not a home, and somebody could literally have a roof, but they may not necessarily have a home. For a lot of people who are on the streets, actually they're escaping abuse, often like violent abuse, sexual abuse of various kinds, and for them the street is actually an escape from that. So in a way, sometimes the street is the home, and the house is the trap. So he's going to be asking us to think about, what is homelessness, and the question of visibility, and do we think about the people who are homeless who we don't see?
We're going to be talking about some of the contributors to the first major session on reporting homelessness in a few moments. But as it is Siren Radio, we like to have a slight musical interlude every so often. And you actually have already introduced indirectly the next particular piece of music, Owen, when you actually uttered those immortal words, "A house is not a home."
Even when there's no one sitting there, but a chair is not a house, and a house is not a home when there's no one there to hold you tight, and no one there you can kiss goodnight. A room is still a room, even when there's nothing there but gloom. But a room is not a house, and a house is not a home when the two of us are far apart, and one of us has a broken heart. Now and then your name, and suddenly your face appears, but it's just a crazy game. When it ends in tears. Darling, have a heart, don't let one mistake keep us apart. I'm not meant to live alone, turn this house into a home when I climb the stair and turn the key. Oh, please be there, still in love with me.
And as we look ahead to 11 a.m. on the 18th of July 2019, Alex Andrew will be chairing a first session on reporting homelessness. Owen, would you like to just share with us some details about Alex, who indeed has got an interesting resume of CV himself?
Yeah, so Alex Andreou is a writer. He's a newspaper columnist. He's a theatre company director. He's also a food critic as well, and a political commentator. But for some time, he spent some time homeless in the UK. He's originally from Greece. And yeah, we're delighted to have him. He's actually going to be speaking in the second panel, but he's also going to be chairing this first panel on reporting homelessness, because as somebody who's kind of spanned all of these different worlds with such an interesting life experience, I thought he was an ideal person for that.
The M word springs to mind, which is multidisciplinarity. It's something which is kind of almost replaced interdisciplinarity from an academic point of view, but it is something where something as huge as homelessness, as challenging as that problem can be and is, much like climate change, it actually needs to have people working from different disciplines to start saying, OK, let's find a solution.
Absolutely agree. It's a social policy problem, it's a politics problem, but it's also a problem of representation, in the sense of political change can come if people put pressure on politicians, and people may only want to do that if they have perhaps a degree of sympathy or empathy for different groups, which is then the question of representation becomes really important, and how these different groups are represented. And, you know, that, you know, probably begins with the media, which is what this first panel is about.
And coming to your good self, Owen, analysis of early 20th century street newspapers.
So I'm going to be talking about an early street newspaper, probably the first successful street newspaper, which is actually an American newspaper called the Hobo News, which was began in 1915 by Dr. James Eads Howe in St. Louis, Missouri. And it was a paper that was of the hobos, by the hobos, for the hobos, as they put it. So obviously hobo is not a term that we have over here. It means, you know, a kind of transient. It's got more connections.
Littlest
to,
hobo.
Right. Yes. Exactly. Yes. But it was, you know, this paper was, you know, very much an inspiration to later street, I don't know, homelessness newspapers in the USA, and you could even say the big issue over here too. One of the biggest things that they did was that they campaigned against the vagrancy laws that were in operation in the US at the time, which were laws that were based on our 1824 Vagrancy Act, which is what makes it illegal to be out in the open without visible means of support. And they were campaigning against that over 100 years ago. And in the US, they actually got rid of their vagrancy laws. But we still have the 1824 Vagrancy Act, shockingly. So one of the things I think I'd like to, you know, use this conference for is to think, well, maybe we should make sure the Vagrancy Act in Britain doesn't make it to its 200th birthday.
Absolutely. And Juliet Foster from King's College London will also be talking about the representation of homelessness in contemporary British newspapers, presumably.
Yeah, exactly. So, mine and Juliet's papers are going to be kind of looking at, you know, I'll look at the historical. Juliet's focusing on the contemporary representation in British newspapers, because, you know, how people are represented makes a huge difference as to how, you know, the public, if I can use that vague term, you know, feel about a particular issue. It's enormously important. And, you know, the media representation, not to preempt her paper, but the media representation of homeless people is very problematic. We normally see them as you know, presented as kind of wasters, as wastrels, as, you know, subhuman in many respects.
And it's an interesting point you make there, Owen, about we see them, because in many ways we don't see them, they become invisible. We kind of avert our eyes, and I'm sure, you know, hand on heart, I've done this, where effectively you've not so across the other side of the street, Good Samaritan notwithstanding and so on, there is that notion that we just move away from that point of view. And that problem then magnifies because it's just simply passing the buck.
Absolutely. One of the things that homeless people consistently say, one of the hardest things about being homeless is not having people look them in the face when they walk past. They say, you know, even if you don't want to give money or you can't give money, at least you can do is look somebody in the face and say, sorry, or say, you know, have a good day or something like that. Just acknowledge that that person is a human being. And I think that's really where, you know, where a change in policy comes from, is from, you know, there needs to be a cultural shift towards, you know, understanding that, you know, homeless citizens are our citizens. They are part of our culture, and they're not this separate group.
Perhaps some of the aspects of Samir Jeraj, author and freelance journalist, with his line, look at his shoes, learning the world from homeless people, could actually be a pertinent sort of way in which that can possibly be raised in this panel.
Absolutely, yeah. So Samir Jiraj is he's an independent journalist. He's written, you know, numerous articles, and he's also an author as well. He's written, you know, for various papers like The Guardian and other places. And, you know, he's done a lot of really interesting work about, you know, the situation in London. And again, I don't want to preempt his paper, but, you know, I know that he's going to be talking about, you know, what actually homeless people have also got to contribute to this debate. And it's really important that this isn't just a conversation about homeless people by people, you know, who've never experienced it, that it's also a conversation, you know, that includes those people as well.
Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock, as the day begins, silently closing her bedroom door, leaving the note that she hoped would say more. She goes downstairs to the kitchen, clutching her handkerchief, quietly turning the back door key. Stepping outside, she is free.
We give the most of our lives, sacrifice most of our lives. We give her everything money could.
She's leaving home after living alone for so many years. Father snores as his wife gets into her dressing gown, picks up the letter that's lying there, standing alone at the top of the stairs. She breaks down and cries to her husband, "Daddy, our baby's gone. Why would she treat us so thoughtlessly? How could she do this to me?" To keep the appointment she made, meeting a man from the motor trade.
What did we do that was wrong? We didn't know it was wrong. Fun is the one thing that money can't.
Something inside was always denied for so many years.
While mentioning the participatory video, not just homeless as well at this stage, Owen, because that's also going to be part of that first session.
Yeah, that's right. So this is Insight Share, who describe themselves as participatory video facilitators. So basically they go do this all around the world. They go around and they help people to, you know, to make videos of their own lives. So they don't just kind of film people, if you like. They help people to film themselves. So that's the participatory element of it. And so they created this film or this video called Not Just Homeless. So they're going to be talking about that. And that's really the important part, I suppose, of what I was saying before about, you know, this is homeless people are not this separate group. And they were, you know, it's homeless people who made this video. And, you know, homeless people are capable of creating films and creating art just like anyone else. So we'll actually be showing that film at the end of the first day as well.
The key thing perhaps is to remember to ignore the prefix, and actually it's people, not homeless people.
Exactly so.
That line. After lunch, the second session is going to be chaired by Dr. Amanda Roberts from our very own University of Lincoln. share with us what's going to be happening there together.
Yeah, sure. So the second session on the first day is Homeless Life Stories. So we're going to have several different groups involved. This is thinking about representation in terms of how do homeless people or people who have experienced homelessness, perhaps might be a better way of putting it, how do they represent their lives to themselves, to each other, to the media, to people who've not experienced homelessness. So it's a different meaning, a different sense of the word representation. So each, we have several different people who've experienced homelessness, and we also have some academics who've worked in this area as well.
We also have spoken word performer Radcliffe Rides joining us, which is going to be particularly interesting given his work as a spoken word performer.
Yeah, so Radcliffe has, you know, has been on the, well, was on the streets for many years. He's not at the moment. He struggled with drug addiction, but he uses that that past, you know, to in work that he does now as a spoken word performer. You know, he's a really talented individual, and yeah, he's going to be talking about his life. He's going to be talking about how he then kind of represents that life in the work that he does now, which is work that, you know, has helped to keep him off the streets.
We've been introducing one or two appropriate musical tracks in this particular podcast, and I think the lyrics, "Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London, I'll show you something that'll make you change your mind," could very much be at the heart of this conference and symposium, really.
Absolutely.
Have you seen the old man in the closed-down market, kicking up the paper with his worn-out shoes? In his eyes you see no pride, and held loosely at his side, yesterday's paper telling yesterday's news. So how can you tell me you're lonely, and say for you that the sun don't shine? Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London, show you something to make you change your mind. Have you seen the old girl who walks the streets of London, dirt in her hair and her clothes in rags? She's no time for talking, she just keeps right on walking, carrying her home in two carrier bags. So how can you tell me you're lonely, and say for you that the sun don't shine? Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London, show you something to make you change your mind. All-night cafe at a 11:15, same old man sitting there on his own, looking at the world over the rim of his teacup. Each tea lasts an hour and he wanders home alone. So how can you tell me you're lonely? Don't say for you that the sun don't shine. Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London, show you something to make you change your mind. Have you seen the old man outside the seaman's mission, memory fading with the metal ribbons that he wears? in our winter city, the rain cries a little pity for one more forgotten hero and a world that doesn't care. So how can you tell me you're lonely and say for you that the sun don't shine? Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London, show you something to make you change your mind.
It's worth pointing out, Owen, of course, that the Vagrancy Act that you were alluding to in the first part of this particular production, you've written about in The Big Issue.
Yeah, that's right. It was published in The Big Issue, a few days ago, and talking about the Vagrancy Act and the Hobo News and their opposition to that. And that's also The Big Issue also linked that into the fact that Crisis, the charity Crisis, have just launched a campaign to repeal the Vagrancy Act, because it's an act that, you know, punishes people for crimes that are not really crimes, basically. You don't really have to do anything to be arrested for the Vagrancy Act. You just have to be without visible means of support, which, you know, it's called a status crime. And I think most people, increasingly most people feel that that is not fair, that, you know, that you should actually do something wrong to be arrested. I think most people would agree with that. So we're hoping that the, you know, that this campaign will, you know, see some movement, and that the Vagrancy Act, which is only in operation in England and Wales, not Scotland or Northern Ireland, that will be repealed some point in the near future.
And that's just such a vital part of really the impact that something like this particular conference can actually have, because I can understand there might be listeners saying, oh, it's all very well talking about homelessness, but what are we actually going to do something? At least actually this raises the question and indeed gives a prime objective in terms of things to actually get sorted out. And the law of the land, clearly one of those most important aspects.
Absolutely agree. And what would be really important also would be what we would replace it with. So if we were to replace the Vagrancy Act with you know, other acts that were kind of anti-begging ordinances, I don't think that would actually be helpful. That's what they've done in the States, and they've had a lot of problems in recent years. I think what needs to happen personally is that the Vagrancy Act needs to be replaced with something that enshrines someone's right to shelter in the place where they currently reside. Because at the moment, people don't actually have that right. People might be surprised to hear that. You actually have to have what's called a local connection, which basically means you need to have family in an area in order to receive support, which creates a heck of a lot of problems for people. I know this because a very close member of my family had this experience, became homeless and had this experience, and a lot of homeless people have had that experience. So we need to repeal the Vagrancy Act, but then we also need to be very careful what we replace it with.
Also in this middle section, we have Professors Phil Brown and Peter Somerville from the Universities of Salford and Lincoln, respectively, and the importance of using biography in the study of homelessness, particularly related to their ESRC-funded project, Losing and Finding a Home, a Life Course Approach. And although that might sound a little bit of a dry title, actually it's kind of fairly critical and at the heart of the conference itself.
Yeah, absolutely. So this session, the Homeless Life Stories panel, we, you know, have a lot of people who've experienced homelessness talking about their lives. What Phil Brown and Peter Somerville have done in a very extensive project is study how homeless people talk about their lives, and talk about, you know, what value people that has for researchers. You know, the way that people maybe talk about themselves as, you know, the protagonist in their own narrative, in their own almost novel, and they, you know, divide their lives up into chapters, and, you know, there's protagonists, antagonists, and all that kind of stuff. And they've done some really important research in this area, so their session will really nicely finish off that panel, because, you know, they will have lots of biography, and then we'll have you know, Phil and Peter talking about why that biography is important in the study of homelessness.
Still to come on this particular programme and podcast, we'll be looking at the third and final sections, including what Babs Jobling from the Nomad Trust will be talking about, and so on and so forth. But people are listening to this one trust. How can people actually, if they're listening to this with about a week or so to go before the 18th of July strikes, how can they actually sign up and register for this particular conference if they sort of feel I'd like to be there?
Absolutely. So we have a conference website. So probably the best way to find it is if you were to Google representing homelessness Lincoln. And then you would find it. It's a University of Lincoln blogs page. There you see tickets, and that will take you through to tickets, and you can buy tickets for the conference.
And the first day concludes with a roundtable and Q&A on homelessness and representation in Lincolnshire, as you might expect, given the University of Lincoln's position in Lincolnshire, and obviously the location of this conference. Quite an interesting lineup you've got here, Owen, in terms of Dr. Amanda Roberts, Babs Jobling, as we mentioned, from the YMCA and the Nomad Trust, presumably. Mm-hmm. And Thomas George from the University of Lincoln, Johnny Goldsmith, and a volunteer outreach group called Let Them Eat Cake. Also Development Plus's Lindsay Collinson. That's going to be quite interesting to see what is developed there. Nigel Horner's obviously in the chair for that, presumably finding out, you know, ways in which the whole thing can be developed and moved forward.
Yeah, absolutely. So we thought it was important to, you know, we'll be discussing, you know, homelessness as a kind of national issue, but we thought it was important to have, you know, a session, given that we are based here in Lincolnshire, that we have a session on homelessness and representation in Lincolnshire. So, yeah, these the different groups that you mentioned, different individuals, have all been involved in different projects, some, you know, really important projects, often working with the council, and some more research-based projects. So, yeah, groups like Nomad, the YMCA, P3, Development Plus, and so on. And also Let Them Eat Cake, who people may know, are a volunteer organization who do work, you know, going out and giving often food and other aid to people on the streets. And I think one of the things that will be, you know, interesting in this panel is that, you know, not necessarily all of these people or all of these organizations will necessarily agree on, you know, how to best tackle homelessness. You know, people don't have, you know, there isn't universal opinion always about what's the best thing to do, whether you should give people food on the street or not, for example. So I think, you know, we could have some interesting, lively debate, and we thought it was really interesting to have different people represented and see what emerges in that discussion.
And there is a possibility, I believe, that if people are financially challenged, that there are a limited number of tickets which would allow free admission to the conference as well.
Yes, that's right. So the tickets, we like to think the tickets aren't terribly hugely expensive, but at the same time, we also felt it was important to offer a limited number of free tickets that are available for one or both days of the conference. And the free tickets are available for people, and I should stress it's a limited number, but that they are available for people who are interested in the conference who do not have a permanent full-time job. So if that applies to you, there is information on our website about how you can apply for the free tickets. It's a slightly different process to buying the tickets, but basically you just need to email the conference. There's a conference email address, which you can find on the website. And if you email us, tell us who you are, why you'd like a free ticket, if we have any left, hopefully you'd be able to attend for free. And I should probably stress, we're particularly, I suppose, interested if there's anybody who has ever experienced rooflessness, homelessness, however you want to describe it, and we'd particularly be interested in hearing from you.
Day two, the 19th of July 2019, and again a startlingly wonderful keynote speech with the title Dehumanized Perception, Object Storytelling and Shifting Perceptions of Homelessness. It's Jess and Matt Turtle from the Museum of Homelessness.
Yeah, that's right. So the Jess and Matt Turtle from the Museum of Homelessness kick us off with their keynote on day two. The Museum of Homelessness is a really new organization. They've only been going a couple of years, and Jess and Matt are the founders of that. They do some really phenomenal, fantastic work. They are interested in, I suppose, what you'd call the material culture of homelessness, and the fact that there isn't really, or until this, the Museum of Homelessness existed, there wasn't really a way of kind of capturing the materiality of homelessness. The stuff that homeless people use in their lives and how important that is. They've done lots of different work. They've done a number of exhibitions. They've done a lot of political campaigning as well. So we're really, really happy and excited to have them along. And one of the projects that I know they're going to be talking about is work that they've done with some researchers who are interested in the way that human beings can dehumanize others. And I suppose, maybe that goes to what you were talking about before about, how is it that we manage to walk past homeless people and not even look at them? Well, partly that's because of the way that the human brain, and this is partly cultural, partly biological, is able to dehumanize people. So they've done some research or worked with researchers who work on how that works in the human brain. They're really exciting. It's really exciting to have them kicking us off on the second day of the conference.
And the session that follows, entitled Homelessness and Expertise, I think particularly interesting, chaired again by Peter Somerville. We have Homelessness and Public Law, How Rough Sleepers Can Use the Law for Their Protection, with Tessa Buchanan talking about that from the Garden Court Chambers.
So Tessa Buchanan is a lawyer. She does a lot of work with vulnerable groups, particularly with homeless people. And so she's going to be talking about the way in which rough sleepers can use the law for their protection. We thought it was really important to have somebody talking about law because this conference is about representation. I'm in an English department, so I often think about representation in terms of like fictional representations or maybe the media, but of course the law is a text. And it is a kind of representation in itself, and it can be interpreted in different ways. So Tessa is a real kind of champion, I suppose, for homeless people. And so she's talking about the way in which people can actually use the law to protect them, and it might be the case that people don't always realise what protections they do have.
Interested John Kurtz's line on theological representation, the relevance of biblical texts in a context of homelessness. I think it should prove quite fascinating, again, looking at the textual analysis. John from the Ministry for Housing, Communities and Local Government.
So John was actually the CEO of the West London Mission down in London, and now works as a government advisor And yeah, he's really interested in you know, theology and homelessness, and he's done a lot of work with homeless people over the years. And so again, you know, thinking about the Bible as a text, you know, what
basic
what,
instruction booklet for the life experience,
right? Exactly, right. So how is it that the Bible, you know, talks about that, talks about this issue? So we thought it was really important to bring in all these different people from different areas, different aspects, whether it be the law, whether it be religion, or whether it be, you know, other things like public policy, which our other two speakers on this panel are going to be talking to.
So Beth Watts from Harriet Watt University and Lydia Texera from the Center for Homelessness Impact. Lydia talking about the scientific method and public policy. In the next and final part of the sequence, I'm going to attempt to pronounce Dr. Timon Adamczewski, perhaps. Timon Adamczewski. I'll get there before too long, I'm sure. But to take us round to that, something which I'm sure John Lennon would certainly appreciate, to the interpretation of Scott Bakula, his version of Imagine. And let's hope we can imagine a situation where homelessness becomes a thing of the past.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of men. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday.
And I'm sure Scott Bakula, were he around and in the country, will be delighted to take part with Streetwise Opera, who indeed are going to be performing during the conference.
Yeah, that's right. So after the lunch on day two, Streetwise Opera are going to be giving us a half an hour show. They're a charity, an award-winning charity, for people who've experienced homelessness, and they're a group who do, you know, professional opera performances, and the performers are all people who either are or have been homeless. So, you know, again, this is another group showing, you know, the amazing things that, you know, people who've experienced homelessness are doing. And, you know, they're not these kind of passive victims who are incapable. They're actually capable of really amazing things. So really looking forward to hearing them. You know, I've not heard them in person yet. But, you know, everything I've read and seen about them is that they're, you know, extremely good and, you know, professional standard opera company. So really looking forward to that.
And it takes us round to the final segment of this wonderful Representing Homelessness conference, Homelessness and the Arts, chaired, of course, by your good self. And, yes, let's get it out of the way first and foremost from the Université Kazimierza Wielkiego in Poland. Apologies. Dr. Timon Adamczewski in Literature and the Experience of Homelessness.
Yeah, you definitely did that better than I could attempt. So, so Timon, as I call him, he's going to be talking about literature and the experience of homelessness from a European perspective, from Poland. And the project that he's going to be talking about is a project that was done a few years ago in Poland for literature for homeless people. So this was a project in which people were writing books, stories. It was often people who'd experienced homelessness themselves, writing their own accounts of what it was like to be homeless. They were all put in a book, and this book was written in a type of ink that was invisible. But it became visible at a certain low temperature. So the idea was that it, you know, was a book that potentially only people who were on the streets could read. And obviously, it gets pretty cold on the streets in Poland. So Timon's going to be talking about that, which you know, really excited to hear about that.
It's interesting to compare that with Susan Phillips' line on street graffiti in Los Angeles' Skid Row. She's coming over from Pitzer College in the United States. Which, again, actually is something which we probably would see as, oh, this is very tiresome, isn't it? But, again, it's an expression of people being challenged, and whether it's tagging or whatever. You've got a sort of issue at work there.
Right. I guess people are starting to feel maybe slightly differently about graffiti now. We've got Banksy and so on. People may be starting to, you know, realise that it is an art form, and it's not always just a nuisance. So, yeah, Susan Phillips is an anthropologist. You know, she's brilliant. And so she's actually, you know, rather than looking at, you know, faraway tribes or what have you, she looks at the anthropology of urban city spaces. She's done a lot of work on graffiti and on things like tags. And so she's thinking about, you know, the way in which that operates within a culture or within a subculture of homelessness. And she's coming from that, from a, you know, with a kind of Los Angeles, you know, perspective, and the situation in Los Angeles with regards to homelessness is, you know, truly terrible. I was there a few years ago, and I remember seeing people, you know, asleep on the Hollywood stars on Boulevard Avenue, which, you know, kind of felt kind of symbolic to me. But I'm really looking forward to hearing Susan talk.
Again, you raise that issue, which I suppose addresses the invisibility factor, the sort of issues related to that. That there you have, in so many ways, the dream factor, and yet you also have the nightmare action of people actually having to experience this because they may have gone there pursuing the dream, and the dream has turned into a nightmare.
Right, absolutely. And you know, people often, gather in large numbers in a place like Los Angeles for that reason. And, you know, I saw lots of you know, homeless encampments, kind of large sort of city villages almost with you know, tent villages of homeless people in Los Angeles, which wasn't something I'd seen in the UK before. But sadly, in the few years since I went there, you know, that has actually started to happen in the UK too.
Begs the question, have we learnt much since Charles Dickens was a crusading writer in the 19th century talking about this? This is something Nigel Horn is going to be talking about, understanding others through the fictions of Charles Dickens and beyond.
Absolutely, yeah. So Nigel, who's obviously one of the co-organisers of the conference, so he's going to be talking about the use of Charles Dickens in social work. There's been some research, interesting research done recently about the way that reading literary fiction can increase a person's empathy. You know, someone's ability to see things from the perspective of someone else, which, you know, kind of goes against that notion of dehumanization that we were talking about before. So the way in which someone, if they're reading the work of a writer like Charles Dickens, who was, you know, clearly concerned with homelessness in his own time, the way in which that can actually help us to then perhaps be more empathetic and maybe change the way that we behave in the contemporary world.
And finally, on Homelessness and the Arts, Anthony Livera from Coventry University, assisted self-portraits and FAQs, frequently asked questions.
Yeah, so Anthony is a photographer. He's done some really interesting work with homeless people. He's done a number of different projects. One of the projects was this assisted self-portrait, where he sort of trained people who were living on the streets or people who'd experienced homelessness to take self-portraits. So in other words, to take their own image. And he created these really powerful photographs where you see people that are looking directly at the camera. They're homeless people, but you can see that they've got the flash in their hand. So you can see there's a little detail that tells you they're the one in control of this image. And often the images that he creates are very, very different to the stereotypical representations of homeless people that we see in the media. And I have to say, in a lot of charity work as well, you know, that a lot of charities will reproduce these images of, you know, the helpless homeless person on the street, you know, kind of sitting down on the street or maybe even with that hand up begging. And I think there's a huge kind of difference between those types of images that perform a certain function in society, creating the impression that homeless people are passive and helpless and a nuisance, and the images that Anthony creates, which you know, show that these people have agency and are powerful and so on. So that was one of the reasons that we actually chose one of his photographs as the front cover or the image for main image for our conference, because you know, I thought that it really spoke to the issue that we're thinking about here with representing homelessness, which is not just representation but also self-representation.
And go to the University of Lincoln website, lincoln.ac.uk, to access details about the Representing Homelessness Conference, which is what we've just been talking about. Play the podcast back again. It's on Thursday, the 18th of July, Friday, the 19th of July. Convened, as I say, by your good self, Dr. Owen Clayton, Nigel Horner, Professor Peter Somerville, and Katie Dorr. And if we're looking for a musical theme to possibly wrap up this particular segment, and I say particular segment, not the concluding segment, because I'm sure this is something which will echo and resonate, and we'll talk again, Owen, about this, and possibly have some features with some of the actual participants in the event itself. It's John Anderson and Vangelis. I'll Find My Way Home.
You ask me where to begin. Am I so lost in my sin? You ask me where. Say I can't tell you when, but if my spirit is lost, how will I find what is near? Don't question, I'm not alone. Somehow I'll find my way home. My sun shall rise in the east. So shall